Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. New York Stage and Film and Vassar College's Powerhouse Theater traditionally presents two new musicals per summer as staged reading performances in their Martell Theater. All theatrical pieces require a great deal of effort, but musicals present the particular added challenges inherent in the form, i.e., song and dance, and more moving pieces need to be in place to get them off the ground. So the critic-free zone of Powerhouse and the presentation of the Martell musicals is a real help for the creative team of a new musical show. This year's first Martell musical is The Fortress of Solitude, based on Jonathan Lethem's novel of the same name. The show was conceived and directed by Obie Award winner and former artistic director of Soho Rep, Daniel Aukin. Music and lyrics are by Obie Award winner Michael Friedman, who also wrote the music and lyrics for Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. The book of the musical is by Itamar Moses, whose work is published by Faber & Faber and Samuel French, and who has received commissions from Playwrights Horizons, Berklee Repertory Theater, Lincoln Center Theater, and more. Each of these men's bios features many and varied theatrical accomplishments, too numerous to list here. It's my pleasure to welcome Daniel Aukin, Michael Friedman, and Itamar Moses to the roundtable.
Thank you. Thank you.
Daniel, when did Fortress of Solitude, Jonathan Lethem's book, first cross your path, and how did you know you wanted to turn it into a theatrical piece?
It was around, I think, 2003, and I read it, and I had the idea, and it seemed like a very bad idea, but the idea kept not going away. And then one of the first people I talked to about it as a possibility was Michael, and Michael didn't think it was a crazy idea. And talking to him about it more, we just got more and more excited about it. And then at that point, I began to engage with Jonathan Lethem, the author of the novel, mm-hmm. and soon after that, Itamar came on board.
And did you know, at first pass, that you thought it ought to be a musical?
I think the very first impulse was that there was something theatrical about it, and then the fact that music is such a giant part of the novel started to suggest that there might be a way that it wanted to be a musical, but what that way was not obvious. And it was only in starting to talk to Michael that an idea for how this could be musicalized began to emerge.
And Michael, because music is such a part of the book, how do you work with the ideas presented in the book to create your own original music for the theatrical piece?
Well, what's actually cool about the book is it plays almost like a shadow history of pop music from the late 1960s through the end of the century.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan actually uses very little real music. He almost creates, there's a major character in it, Barrett Root Jr., who is a soul singer who never existed. But Jonathan almost creates an entire fictional history that you start believing is real. And so it actually left me a lot of room to play, to sort of create. I jokingly call this show a jukebox musical with songs that never existed. So it's sort of like getting to create your own history of pop music, which is really fun.
And Itamar, how do you work on a script that's conceived by someone else, conceived by Daniel, and then the source material, the novel, is written by another person? How do you have to take all of those worlds together to create one book?
Well, for me, what felt like the best way to look at it was to just sort of treat the novel as... I mean, first of all, Michael and Daniel, when they started talking to me about it, they didn't... You know, they shared with me their enthusiasm and then some idea of, like, you know, thematically what was theatrical about it and why it might work musically, but they didn't really come to me with any sort of prescriptions or edicts about, like, and we think the story should be told this way. Michael, I think, had maybe a couple of songs already, but it was very much a blank slate in terms of what my work could be. And then it just seemed wisest to just treat the novel as this sort of enormous gift in terms of raw material. I mean, it's funny that Michael says he sometimes describes it as a jukebox musical for songs that never existed, because in a similar way, for me, it's almost like a form of playwriting where you derive, you know, your scenes from, say, you know, interviews or a transcript or a history, from like a non-fictional history of something. although in this case it's a fictional history. So I guess it's just I started to see the novel as this sort of treasure chest full of these sort of amazing characters and events in this entire world. And then it's almost, I don't know, it's that, I guess that adage about sculpting where you sculpt an elephant but just removing everything that's not an elephant. Like I just had to find the dramatic storytelling structure inside the novel, which in simplest terms has to do with just taking this sort of big sweeping tapestry and figuring out what the discrete events are and how they link together into a chain of cause and effect.
And we have started completely by my direction talking about process without telling listeners anything about what the piece is about. So could, and you know, any of you tell us about the story a little?
Fortress of Solitude is a story of two boys, Mingus Rude and Dylan Ebdis, growing up neighbors on this block in Brooklyn during the 70s and 80s. And one of them's white and one of them's black, and they are both growing up motherless. Their fathers are there, but their fathers are pretty absent. And it's really a story of their friendship and how that friendship grows, and actually how that friendship is really torn apart, really by, I wouldn't say situations beyond their control, but by all sorts of forces. And so in a bigger way, it's sort of a vision of America in the last quarter of the 20th century and of sort of politics and race and music and culture and all these things told through the story of these two boys and what happens to them.
And from you're all starting to work on it together until it is now at Powerhouse. How much time has that taken, and what have been the different iterations? Has it been on stage before this workshop?
The first several years, we were just meeting mostly in Itamar's living room a few times a year until it snowballed into enough of a shape that we needed to bring other people into the process. And then since then, we've done workshops. But this is, I believe, the first time we've had a public presentation of any of the material.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, that, well, in its entirety, excerpts have been performed.
Musicals take forever.
Right.
All musicals.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that part of why they take forever is that each of you, or said creative team of almost any show, is working on a lot of things at once.
That's part of it.
And also partly that it's... as a form, it's, you know, one of the most exciting forms, and when it works, it often seems, from an audience perspective, effortless, but getting to that effortless place can take a long time.
Yeah, it's sort of two things. Like, part of what it is that, even more so than with a play, a musical, you really have to see it, like, realize with all of the elements together in order to figure out if sections of it are working or making sense. But because they're so complicated and they involve, even to just really see what you have, you need a bunch of actors to actually learn a bunch of music. You know, it's sort of an elaborate process to even see what you've got. So that's all part of, contributes to why they take so long.
Right. Like with a regular play, you can have a bunch of actors rehearse it in the morning and hear a reading of it that afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
With a musical, it could take 5 days to get to that place.
Yeah.
And that's just to hear it read without anybody moving. So, yeah, everything takes longer.
And you are in rehearsals now. I imagine it's sort of, I don't know, hard to be objective at this point when you're so consumed by it there at Vassar. But is it going okay?
I could be totally objective, and it's brilliant.
Oh, good.
We have a really amazing group of actors who are incredibly committed and have been heroic in the face of changes and some difficult decisions that we've had to make and other things, and they've been really astonishing and continue, I think, to this show. I'm thrilled that the show has so many good roles that I think actors get to sink their teeth into, but that said, we are up here very much because of the generosity of the performers we have.
Gentlemen, I'm not allowed to critique afterward, but I can't tell you how excited I am to come down and see it this weekend.
And we can't tell you how excited we are that you're not allowed to critique afterward.
That's part of the magic of Powerhouse. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
The Fortress of Solitude is the first of this year's Powerhouse Martel musicals. It runs June 29th through July 1st. Our guests have been Daniel Aukin, Michael Friedman, and Itamar Moses. New York Stage and Film and Vassar College present Powerhouse Theater's 28th season on the Vassar campus through July 29th. To learn more about the Fortress of Solitude or any of the other offerings this year, visit powerhouse.vassar.edu. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.